Welcome back to Hoops HDs, our continuing coverage preseason. This is our preseason SEC podcast where we are going to tell you anything you need to know about the Southeastern Conference right now within the next half hour, 40 minutes or so. I'm your host, Chad Sherwood, joined by John Titel, John Salica, Joby Fortson, and a puppet.
Yes. The Hoops HD preseason coverage is so good. I think we should continue it until about January. That's how good it is. Yes.
We're going to still be doing these shows on like April 10th or so. This is our SEC preview show. And let's start out with a little bit of SEC history here. 10 years in a row now, the SEC's maximum number of bids have been 5. And some of those years have been down to, I think, as low as 2 or 3. Joby, this may be the year of the bounce back for the SEC where they actually get more than 5 bids.
I agree. There are some teams that you can look at and say locks, and they're the teams that are usually locks. Your Kentucky's and your Florida's. Yeah. But the fact is, I see so many teams, unlike we did the Big 12 yesterday. And I said I saw a dichotomy between the top 5 and the next 5. I didn't see a whole lot of bubble. Oh, my gosh. This is the bubble conference. And I think some of those teams will find their way in and get above that 5 mark. It could be as high as 6 or 7.
We'll be getting into this a little bit later as far as schedules. But I think we're starting to see former Big East Commissioner Mike Trangisi's work evident as part of some of the schedules being beefed up in recent years.
Yeah.
And David, there was a collective effort by the SEC to say, hey, we got to get this basketball better. And this may be the year that actually really starts paying off in terms of bids.
Yeah, I believe it was Mike Slive, the former SEC commissioner, who was on the selection committee. And after going through that process, those committees really valued and looked at the strength of the out-of-conference schedule. And whenever you had SEC teams in particular that seemed to land on the wrong side of the bubble, that was one of the glaring things you've noticed. So some teams have really beefed it up, others not so much. But, I agree. I think that they've put a lot more in the basketball. And I know football is what this conference is known for, but it is one of the Power 5 conferences. It's one of the better basketball conferences typically. It's got a lot of good basketball history. Certainly Kentucky, Arkansas has been good. Tennessee's been good off and on. Florida was real strong for a while and still is. There's a lot of good basketball in this conference.
And then there's LSU. Yeah.
And then there's LSU.
Which used to be pretty darn good.
Right, yeah.
Let's talk serious here, though. And Titel, let's turn to the top of the SEC. And the team that everyone is picking to win the conference, I don't know if we will or not. We'll find out as we go through this show. But Kentucky Wildcats, John Calipari, once again, letting everybody go and bringing in a whole new ton of freshmen that are ready to be one and done and lead him to another possible SEC championship. How good is this team going to be in Kentucky?
It's good. It's just funny. Your intro seems like the intro we do every year for Kentucky. That's exactly right. That's what he does every single year. PJ Washington, Nick Richards, Quade Green, loaded with freshmen, 5-star recruits. As fans, we get the treat because Calipari also schedules tough. Neutral site game against Kansas, neutral site against UCLA. They have Louisville at home. They have Virginia Tech at home. They go to West Virginia in January. So you're going to get to see, and the freshmen are going to get to experience exactly what college basketball is all about.
Right. And didn't even mention Hamidou Diallo, who we were surprised that he's back even this year. He was with the team for half a season, though he didn't play. We thought he'd be in the NBA, Joby. You do have a few guys back like Killia Jones and Wayne Gabriel as well to give that veteran sophomore presence on this team.
Yeah, but here's the thing is, it's not like the team that almost went undefeated a few years ago. That team had those sophomore, a whole host of very good sophomores to meet with the Townses of the world. Yeah, Sasha Killia Jones might be the 8th guy in the rotation, and that's not the exact same way it was done. I think that will hurt Kentucky on a national scale. but maybe not here. They're going to be able to talent their way probably to the conference championship, but it's going to be it's not going to be this. We're rolling through the SEC. It's Kentucky and everybody else. The everybody else is going to be pretty darn strong this year. So it's not a given that Kentucky's going to come out on top.
Right. Stalika, on the terms of their schedule, they've got a big test early on in the season with Kansas. Any other big tests that fit for this team?
Oh, I think you heard Tytel mention all of their major exams, but there's also a game against Monmouth at Barclays, which is not going to be the easiest one, but most of it's going to be home games.
I got one,
and it's very early. Go ahead. Chad, I think we're talking about the same one. Go ahead.
I think we are. Well, there's two. I don't think it's the Monmouth game because I think Monmouth is going to be down this year. I would point out the Harvard game briefly, but on November 12th, the second game of the season, coming up on the first Sunday of the season, David, go ahead. This is a fascinating home game between a very young Kentucky team and a very veteran team.
Yeah, a very veteran experienced Vermont team, and not just experienced, but good experience. This is a team that ran the table in the America East last year. Now, again, before Kentucky fans start, going crazy, no, they're not playing against the caliber of team that Kentucky normally does, but still to win them all and the way that they did, and they were right in there against Purdue for much of that game in the NCAA tournament. When you typically look at how good teams are going to be, you look at what they did a year ago and what they have coming back. Well, a year ago, they won 19 straight. I think it may have even been more than that. And then took Purdue to the wall, and they have everybody back. Like, under any other circumstance, that is a team that's going to be on the radar. I'm not going to say that they beat Kentucky. I'm not going to predict that. But it would not shock me if they did, simply because – as early as the game is and as experienced as Vermont is, they might make Kentucky sweat and they might even beat them.
But there's also games like East Tennessee State, Fort Wayne, Illinois, Chicago. I mean, it's not Joby's favorite band, Poison, that you'll be on their schedule.
Right. Well, I just want to note that Vermont game, it's already been recognized as a potential game there. It's going to be on ESPN, the mothership station there on that Sunday afternoon, going up against NFL football nonetheless. But in terms of this Kentucky team, I just want to make my comment on it, is this is probably one of the most fascinating John Calipari Kentucky teams I've seen, just because it is so young. It's younger, as Joby mentioned, than really any other team that I've seen from Kentucky. And you know, just got to hope that it doesn't end up being the team that doesn't make the NCAA tournament and ends up losing to Robert Morris in the NIT. But I don't think that's going to happen to them.
Well, that team was ranked third starting the year. I mean, I'm not saying that's going to happen to this team, but don't be surprised if they struggle. I mean, when you're that young and you're playing that many heavyweights out of conference, you might drop a few of them.
Tytel, let me turn to you on another team here that is getting a lot of attention, a lot of hype heading into the season. That's this Texas A&M team. I know you have some thoughts on them.
Several. So first I'm going to focus on the roster, then the schedule. Sorry, John S. The roster, amazing. Big men galore. Tyler Davis only missed one shot in the Sweet 16 in 2016 against Oklahoma. His teammate from high school, DJ Hogue, at the small forward, Robert Williams, reigning conference defensive player of the year, and I've seen him projected as not just a first-round pick, but a lottery pick, because the body is NBA-ready. Don't sleep on Josh Nebo, a transfer from St. Francis, who was conference defensive player of the year at St. Francis. How good is their defense? They have two conference defensive players of the year. As far as the roster for Billy Kennedy, the schedule, we talk about all these teams with cupcakes and stuff. This is the exact opposite. West Virginia, neutral site, I believe Germany. Arizona and Phoenix, they call it semi-away. It's a semi-home game, in my humble opinion. They have Kansas away, and they have USC in L.A. Kudos to Billy Kennedy. His team is not going undefeated because they have such a hard schedule. But they are going to be ready in March because of all the tough games in November, December, and January.
All right, so, Stalika, we just heard Tytel say that a team that had a losing record in conference last year is looks like a lock.
Yeah, it was just 2 years ago that Texas A&M made it to the Sweet 16, but not quite the same cast this time around.
Joby, I know you follow this A&M team as well. Yeah. Are you that as high as
yeah,
that?
They are. When I think of teams that could challenge this freshman laden Kentucky team that will slip up from time to time, the team that could step into the void, the team at the top of my list, and there are a few candidates for it, but the team at the top of it is A&M. They are, and Williams is, I mean, he will be a lottery pick next year, and it will be, he will show it on the court this year, and if he didn't last year already. They're awesome. They're tough. They are a protected seed level team, period.
We lost Delika again. That was another good take. Well, let's point out real quick, and again, exhibitions don't matter. They've already played another team that a lot of us like, and they lost against Texas in Houston, a game that apparently got a little bit heated.
Yeah, did get a little bit heated from what we heard at least. To see that. But Joby, let me go back to you again here. Beyond A&M, who's the next best team? Is there a third team that also looks like they're, you know, up there at the top of this conference?
Well, the team I think you're trying to fish for me, I wouldn't pick third.
Okay.
I think you're trying
the Auburn Tigers.
Why
are you picking third? Because maybe we're on the same
team. I'm going Florida.
That's where I was going. Actually,
I'm going Florida. Okay. Just tradition. I think Kevon Allen, the return of Chiozzo. This is a good Florida team. It is, Mike White's, doing a great job here in the wake of Billy the Kid. They are a very solid team. I know quite well Jalen Hudson transferred in. I'm not in love with him as a player per se, but he should be a solid addition to him. Florida is back. They're going to be wearing white. And maybe even get to select their own location.
Well, Tytel, maybe the biggest problem with Florida is getting through the first few months. Igbuno coming back from an ACL tear, Isaiah Stokes and another ACL victim. A lot of ACL problems in Florida.
It is. And it's good to point out, they bring in a transfer from Rice, Igor Kulichev, who was great at Rice. He had 14 points in the CBI when they lost to Utah Valley last year. I hope Igbuno is healthy. He missed the end of last year with a torn ACL. I don't know how long they take. But you got Mike White as the reigning conference coach of the year. The schedule doesn't look out of control. And when you look at last year's schedule, this team, the last two games they won, Virginia and Wisconsin, talk about your blue bloods. I also want to know from any of you, I believe Mike White's father, Kevin, is the AD at Duke and on the selection committee. How does that affect them in March?
It doesn't hurt.
Doesn't hurt. Well, I think Mike White, I think he would have to step out of the room probably for that. But
no, rules say he didn't have to.
Well, another transfer player also, keep an eye on Jalen Hudson from coming over from Virginia Tech as well, should help this team. Yeah. One other player there. Stalika, beyond those top three, who are you looking at as the best team in the SEC?
It's going to be a little tough, but I actually think Mississippi State has a chance to possibly break three.
You're going Ben Howland, huh?
Yeah.
It's been a couple years. They lost an exhibition that I would rather not discuss.
Well, you have to be impressed with how they played in that game, losing by four to Nebraska. I mean, that is – man, that's – you got to start looking out for this Mississippi State team.
Joby, do you like this Mississippi State team?
Yeah, I do. I think they're, when you're debating over these teams, you know, are they in, out? I think they are the team that could find themselves on the good side of the bubble. They got two weather, not just one weather spin, they got two of them. Kwadari being the best.
But what do they have in the front court? My problem with them.
Lamar Peters is, I think he could get close to double figures. As a playmaker and setting up the team, I'm not as, I'm not as settled on him. But the problem that they could find themselves, and Stalika is our guy on this. Stalika, could you tell us about their schedule for us?
If you insist, Alabama State, Florida A&M, Green Bay, who's going to be down? Stephen freaking Austin.
This is, if they miss it, they can call up Angry Frank circa 2015 and have a nice little conversation of why. They're going to win 20 games, obviously, with that piece of crap.
But unlike Big 12 teams, at least they will have a true road game. It's sort of a road game this year.
Yeah.
They'll be playing Cincinnati.
We'll see.
Tytel, the one team we haven't mentioned, one team that has been getting a lot of preseason press has been the Missouri Tigers with some guy named Porter. Two guys named Porter, in fact. Is this team an NCAA tournament team, and what do you think about the Porters?
I don't think they're going to make it. I mean, he might be the next LeBron James, in which case they might, although we've seen time and again all these great players like Kevin Durant. It's not like all these guys get to the Final Four. Michael Beasley, a bunch of great college players who don't do anything. But you mentioned two Porters. It's a whole lot more than that. Try to keep up with me because this is going to be a while. Father Michael Sr., assistant coach. Older sisters Bree and Sierra play for the women's team and are coached by their aunt Robin. Michael Jr., the possibly national freshman of the year, and his younger brother Jonte reclassified from 2018 to this year to join Michael as a freshman. All we're missing is Otto Porter to have some eligibility and Cole Porter to do the national anthem. It's ridiculous how many Porters there are in Missouri.
Well, David, my problem with Missouri, people seem to be on this Missouri bandwagon just because Porter is there. They're bringing Kwanza Martin as their head coach. Kwanza Martin had some pretty darn good talent in Cal last year and did not make the tournament. Why is he suddenly going to make the tournament with freshman talent when he couldn't do it with senior talent?
I don't know. I don't think that they're quite there yet. Just give me a second. There was a story. Okay. Well, I just don't think that they're quite there yet. For that reason, I think that they're going to be real good. Like Tytel's pointed that out, but I think they're about a year away. They're going to be much improved. But here's the thing: Mizzou was so bad last year that they could finish 500 and still fall into the category of much improved.
Well, that I would agree with. They can't be worse than last year.
Yeah. Now, they had something happen this offseason. I wanted to get the story up, but when I tried to Google it, like when I popped it up, one of those ads started playing, and it was driving me crazy in my invisible headset that you can't see here. An athletic department employee was fired from Missouri this summer. This is one of my favorite stories of all time. For driving his car through the arena and onto the floor. Are you all aware of this story?
Yes, go ahead.
We need to get this person on the show. We need to find out who he was, and that is something – that is my goal for this year. But I guess a rogue employee went out drinking and tried to drink as much as me and decided to get into his car, bust through a gate, somehow drive it into the arena, onto the concourse, and was driving it around the basketball court and caused like $100,000 worth of damages. For some reason, he was then dismissed from his duties and was no longer employed by the university.
That is a classic David Griggs type of move. So, David, we'll definitely try to get him on the show for you.
Yes, I would love to.
Joby, let's go where you were going to go earlier and talk a little bit about the Crimson Tide.
Mm-hmm. And if you're going to talk about the Tide, if Michael Porter represents the dreams and hopes of everyone in Columbia, all the dreams and hopes in Tuscaloosa are tied to Colin Sexton, who is not Porter. You know, I'm no recruiting rankings pure expert, but I do know Porter was one, Sexton was top five. I mean, you know, this guy's the real deal. You get Braxton Key back along with it, and another top line freshman who will see freshman point guards. Occasionally you land gold. My own team had London Parentes come out of nowhere to do it, but point guards typically do take a year to click in unless they're doing pure sharp shooting or pressing. But this team, unfortunately, if Sexton leaves in a year, it could be a one shot. I don't know if they'll take advantage fully of their one shot, but Braxton Key gives them a little bit more senior laden component to lay on. And I do like Avery Johnson as a coach. I think Avery Johnson's a very good bench coach. He's proving he's working the AAU route very effectively in recruiting. And so, Alabama should feel very pleased with the Avery Johnson signing, at least right now. Will they make it? This is one of those other bubble teams that we talk about. I'm kind of on the yes category.
I am too. I like this Alabama team.
David, this Alabama team, I think we were all very impressed with what Avery Johnson's done the first 2 years here.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. And it hasn't always been smooth sailing. They've dealt with injuries. They've lost key players, and they've still continued to trend up. I do think if they stay healthy, certainly, I could see them making the tournament. They were a solid NIT team last year that returns most of their pieces and adds quite a bit to that on top of that. I think they go. Another interesting off-season story, Alabama conducted an internal investigation, found nothing wrong, and fired one of the members of the basketball staff.
Actually, and it was, you could say not found anything. It was very clear that this man who was fired was trying to work with an agent to get Mr. Sexton to sign with said agent in advance. They were probably pretty smart to kick the guy out before any true violations occurred. So I'll give him credit on that
one. Well, since we're talking about this type of stuff going on off the court, let's talk about the other team that had a little bit of an off-court problem, and that's Pearl's Auburn Tigers, and yet another team that, you know, some type of FBI investigation, Chuck Person arrested, John T., I know you don't know much about this FBI thing, but what do you think about the Auburn Tigers this year?
Man, like, people talk about Calipari and how, like, everywhere he goes, they have to vacate the Final Fours. Like, I know Bruce Pearl's a good coach. He's won everywhere he's went. I'm getting a little sick of, like, the cloud following him from school to school to school to school. as far as the roster, great on the wings. They got Sean Murray coming over from Presbyterian, Mustafa Heron, who was great last year as a freshman, Angel Purifoy. It's leaving a sour taste in my mouth, and Chuck Person is still on my interview to-do list. I think it's going to be a while.
I guess you don't think they're an NCAA tournament team this year then?
They're not.
Okay. David, do you think they are?
No.
Okay. Well, let's talk about another team that might not be an NCAA tournament team. Amazingly, we haven't spoken about them yet despite being in the Final Four last year. Stalika, Angry Franks, South Carolina Gamecocks. Do they have any shot of getting back, not to the Final Four, but to the tournament itself this year?
Not when you're losing three really indispensable players, especially in the case of Sindarius Thornwell, but also Dwayne Notice and P.J. Dozier, who is part of a pretty awesome backcourt. They're still going to have Chris Silva, Kotsar, Casinas, among others in the frontcourt, but there's going to be too much reloading for South Carolina to really make a serious run this year, especially with the rest of the SEC going up and South Carolina for 1 year at least going down.
Yeah, that was amazing what they did last year. And you wonder how much – like you said, it looks like they're going to take a big step back from that and maybe even make the tournament. In fact, probably won't. But, they were really good during the regular season. It was one of their best regular seasons in memory. But look at – I mean, when they got to the tournament, it was just so surprising. The way they beat Duke the way that they did, the way they blasted through Baylor, and then getting to the Final Four and taking Gonzaga to the wall. I mean, they really were playing – despite being a 7 seed as well as anybody in the country when the season ended. And John's right. They lose three huge pieces of that.
And Tytel, you have a comment about their schedule?
Stalika, please. It's all yours.
Okay, Stalika.
Yep. I think if we're looking at South Carolina, they're actually going to be going on the road to open the year against Wofford, who's going to be opening up a new arena of their own. They're also going to be playing in the relocated Puerto Rico tournament this year, which will include Illinois State, either Boise State or UTEP as part of their second game. But we also have one of Tytel's non-D1 specials, and that's going to be Limestone right after Christmas Day.
Limestone. Potential team of the people for this year.
Was Linoleum busy?
Was Walla Walla not available? That's still my favorite
team. Tusculum was too busy playing Pastner.
Yeah.
But I think, to be fair to South Carolina, they usually pick out some in-state folk, because I think last year it was Coker College.
And the thing is, in the exhibition schedules we've been talking about, they actually scheduled well. They scheduled Virginia Tech. You're good for them. I mean, it's like
they just switched that with a Limestone game, seriously. But
right. What are you doing?
Joby, one other team from the SEC that did make the field last year that we haven't discussed, and that is Arkansas.
I love this team.
You love this team. Okay,
I actually love this team. Okay, go ahead. I think that we're not saying lock, but we're talking about how do you get to six or seven bids. I think Arkansas is part of that equation. I do indeed. I don't know how people, can easily cover Macon, Bradford, and Beard all at once. I mean, I love that perimeter play. Yes, there's a lot for Gofford to do on the inside to be, he's got to grow up quick. From the inside standpoint, but yes, these deep guard teams can have an impact, can make the tournament. You're going to see it here. I think, especially when you're talking all three are seniors. And so put them up against a Missouri on a given moment, or I think they'll are going to have fun early if they play early enough in the season with Petty at Alabama, who is a pretty good team. So I actually like those seniors and the congruity that they have, as long as they get the help, like I said, from Gofford, who comes in as a freshman. This team is on the right side of the bubble as far as I'm saying. And given how they played last year in the tournament and came within, inches of beating North Carolina, who's to say they can't make noise once they're there?
David, do you agree with him?
I do. I like this team as well. I think they're going to continue to improve and be – I think that they're one of the teams from this conference that makes the field. I don't really have anything to add, but I absolutely agree with that.
All right. Tytel, the Georgia Bulldogs, I think, are – we have an email thread that would go around, and we had a very big debate about that team. Is this Georgia team an NCAA tournament team or not?
Not. This is Deonte Maitens this year. He could be the conference player of the year if it's not Porter or somebody else. This is a team that lost in the NIT last year and then lost the heart and soul in their backcourt, point guard J.J. Frazier. Mark Fox has not been able to get too far over that hump, and I don't think they can do it.
Salika, are you not on the Georgia bandwagon with me? Am I the only one there?
I think they have a chance to possibly sneak in, but I think this week for Georgia, I think the big question is, will they finally win the world's greatest cocktail party? Oh, wait, wrong sport.
Joby, you do have Hammonds coming in as a freshman, joined with Martin in the front court. That's what I really like about this Georgia team. Yeah, I know Frazier is gone, but I think you can make up for that.
They're part of this. Look at all these bubble teams from the SEC, and they're definitely in the conversation from it. And they might find themselves on the right side. We talked about Mississippi State earlier. Well, get ahead of Mississippi State, you'll win the tiebreaker, given that awful schedule the Bulldogs, the other Bulldogs, put together. And it's not that these guys, Stalika, Georgia do.
Oh, for Georgia, they're actually going to take a few decent swings here.
Yeah.
They are going to Marquette.
Georgia Tech again, obviously. Yeah. Who I think's improved. And so, Marquette, those are some, that's enough. Can you tie them in the regular season? That might propel you there. But it's like I said, there's like four or five bubble teams. It's going to be a lot of fun evaluating them in March, to be very honest.
Yeah. Well, I think one of the more interesting teams to also look at in the SEC, and here we are already talking about, I think, our 11th team or so in the SEC, and we're still talking about teams that can make the field, which kind of goes back to our point at the top. But the Vanderbilt, NCAA tournament last year, yet Luke Kornet is gone. I personally think that that is too big of a loss. I don't think you can recover from losing a guy like that. That is a, you know, almost like a once in a lifetime type of player. But David, what are your thoughts on Vanderbilt this year? Do you think they can get back in the field?
They can, but if I'm picking them now, I wouldn't have them in there. I love Bryce Drew as a coach. I think he did really well last year. And if you watch them throughout the season, they certainly improved, you know, week to week, month to month as the season went on. And if they can do that again, then we'll see. You know, I think when we started doing our bracket projections in January, we weren't even really looking at them. They kind of came on strong down the stretch, if I remember correctly. Yeah. But if I had to guess now, I would say no. I don't think they're going to get in, but they could.
Well, I know Vanderbilt fans are going to kill me for saying this, but Tytel, you really can't win games if you intentionally foul when you're leading, correct?
It is. I've been trying to dig around to get like the actual story, and what the closest I can get, and correct me if I'm wrong, anyone, is that Bryce Drew is telling his player, Matthew Fisher Davis, that's your man, guard him. And Fisher Davis is hearing, foul him, foul him. So he did, and it cost him a game, and Northwestern and now has the monkey off their back. I don't know if that's the truth, but folks, I interviewed Kornet. He's a smart guy. He was an academic All-American. This team should not be making mental mistakes like that.
But do you think they're a tournament team this year then?
I don't. So I like their backcourt. As Joby said, I think Arkansas has the best senior backcourt, and I think we can all agree that Kentucky has the best freshman backcourt. But Fisher Davis, he did have 22 points in the game. He almost won it single-handedly before he lost it single-handedly. And Riley LeChance with 12 points as well in the loss to Northwestern. But they're going to need a little more. I think you're right. Kornet's going to be a huge loss, both physically and as the emotional rock on the team. So I think they'll miss out.
Well, we're talking about backcourts. I think we should talk about Ole Miss as well.
Yeah.
Joby, let me start with you then.
I didn't mean to jump in. But yeah, Burnett and Davis are freaking, they're freaking awesome. And they're both going to average over 15 a year, I think. Ole Miss, you know how much I love guards. My problem with Vanderbilt is that they're going to have to rely on Lee, who's not as highly touted a freshman as Petty is at Alabama, to dish the ball around. Yeah. And I don't know if they have the creativity that these two Ole Miss guards have to score, both off the dribble and pump it in from the outside. Beyond that, can Ole Miss – we talked about it with Arkansas. Gofford's going to have to show up. Likewise, Ole Miss is going to have to get some help from the inside as well. I don't know if it'll all be there, but they're going to be fun to watch. It's the best twosome that they might have with those two guards, the two combined highest scoring starting guards in the country.
And don't forget that Markel Crawford's coming in as a Memphis transfer to add to the two of them. So
yes, and Crawford's coming in, which should definitely make it a third guard that's pretty good. But I'd still give Arkansas the edge overall with the triumvirate they have.
Well, Stalika, where are you on this Ole Miss team?
Ole Miss, I mean, they were down for about a year, but another team that has a chance to reload. I also liked one of the stories we had from the Rebels as far as the offseason goes. Let's not forget, Illinois State was the team that another team that ended up getting snubbed from the NCAA tournament. Dan Mullen was tweeting out, would anyone like to do a home and home with us? Lo and behold, the Ole Miss Rebels volunteered to take on that challenge, and
yes,
they will be facing off in December.
That was a great story.
Great. Good for Ole Miss, man. Good for them.
Yeah, great job by Andy Kennedy. That was a nice move. David, Rick Barnes came into Tennessee last year. I think he was kind of surprisingly, you know, overachieved a little bit last year.
I think he did a real good job last year. I mean, I know that Tennessee didn't really go anywhere, but they were a lot better than I was expecting them to be.
Well, do you think they're going to be that good this year again?
I do not.
Okay. Tytel, probably the shortest roster in the SEC here in Tennessee. I didn't actually do the math, but it kind of feels like it.
It is. The two most interesting players to me, the Howard transfer, James Daniel III, 2016 Conference Player of the Year when he was at Howard, and one of the best scorers in the nation. He only played two games last year after a high ankle sprain. If healthy, and if he can compete against SEC guards, which I don't know if he can, he could be like an instant offense kind of guy. Additionally, sophomore small forward Grant Williams, you talked about not being able to do the math. He's the guy to call. His mother is an engineer at NASA.
There you go. James Daniel, actually, he did lead the nation, the entire nation in scoring 2 years ago with that 27.1 for Howard.
Right, for Howard.
And David, last but not least, LSU.
What do you mean not least?
Maybe, but is the future a little bit brighter now that we've got Will Wade there?
Probably so. I really like Will Wade. The thing about him is, in as a coach, he's done very good at stepping in the situations, and he built up the Mocs a little bit at Chattanooga. But when he took over at VCU was already set up. They didn't need to be rebuilt. They needed to be sustained. LSU needs to be rebuilt, and that's putting it nicely. Is he up for the challenge? Now, I mean, recruiting's gone well. I do think he'll get them going, but I don't think it happens right away. It is an upgrade in coaching. But then again, I would have been an upgrade.
Joby, do you think he's got a good future there, or do you think he's the right guy to rebuild this program?
I don't know where LSU gets their wins this year. You know,
they don't.
They get losing.
You got North Texas transfer Jeremy Combs is going to be their best player. He was a double-double at North Texas a couple of years ago, but that's not much.
I do like Tremont Waters from the freshman side. I've followed his recruiting, and he's going to be a solid add for them. But no, this team's a mess. I don't see where they get their wins. And like I said, there's a 2-16 or whatever it would be, you know, would all of a sudden that lead to another 2-16, another, just because there's no place with everybody else in the SEC becoming, I mean, every team we've listed except maybe Tennessee before this, we've said, oh, bubble team, could they get in? Oh, that's 12 out of 14 teams. LSU's not getting their wins. They're not getting wins anywhere.
Why take that job?
They're TCU from a few years ago that we referenced. Yeah. Everybody's getting their win when they go to Baton Rouge. Mm-hmm.
Tytel, do you have a conference player of the year for the SEC?
I do, but you're not going to like it. I'm going to go with Yonte Maton. It could easily be Porter because he might be the best player in the nation. But I think that Missouri is going to be bad, not that Georgia is going to be great. And even though Kentucky is going to have more talent and Texas A&M will have more talent, I think it will be spreaded wealth so that there's not going to be one guy who averages a double-double. I think Yonte Maton can average a double-double. I don't think they're making the tournament, but I'll go with him from Georgia.
I do think they're making the tournament, but Joby, do you agree with him?
I think it'll be Porter.
Georgia's not making the tournament.
I'm not saying he'll live up completely to the hype, but he's going to be pumping it in. He is going to be relied on. It goes to what John T was just saying. He is going to be the focal point. Missouri will improve greatly from that 2-16 record, even if they don't make the tournament. Wasn't Ben Simmons conference player of the year his year, even though LSU didn't make the tournament? I think he was.
Probably.
And I think you'll see something. And I think Porter's better for the team and will be on a better team than Simmons was. Or at least, you know, Simmons team, Quarterman. I don't know why Quarterman.
There was some talent on that LSU team. They were awful, but there was some talent.
They're so poorly coached. And not that Martin's a genius, but Quanzo Martin is a much better coach. You know, so, I think Porter. Long story short, Porter.
Well, Stalika, let's run through each of you. Let's start with you here. Who is your conference champion and how many teams are making the field?
I'm going to say Kentucky is the champion, but I'm only going to have three locks as far as Kentucky, Florida, and Texas A&M. But I'll also take two out of three from the group of Mississippi State, Alabama, and Vanderbilt.
So you don't think Arkansas is making the field?
Not this year.
Okay, Joby, let me go to you next. I was going to go to Titel.
You heard me say bubble team. Any team that gets a 500 record or above in the SEC is going to make it, unless everybody's at 500 and then some will fall off. That means to me six or seven teams make it this year. I'll go with the three, obviously, that John said. I think Alabama gets in. I think Arkansas gets in. I will go with Georgia. And
wow.
I'll go with Mississippi, but barely over Mississippi State. You're just going to look at the end of the year of the conference schedules. I know it's an unbalanced schedule. I don't care. The conference is so deep, it means less. Because you're always playing a good team unless you're going to Baton Rouge. and wherever you finish in the conference standings is going to be how they draw the line on the bubble. I think it'll be a simple exercise by the committee, and it'll be about six or seven.
Titel.
A&M is your champ.
Oh.
Sorry. Buried the lead. I want people in Lexington to email me nasty things.
If the sub lead is that they're getting seven teams in, I'm taking the under because I think that's a bit high. Kentucky, Florida, A&M for sure. Alabama is a near lock. They'll get in one more for five. I think seven's pushing it, though.
So who would your fifth be?
The Arkansas argument is a good argument, and nobody else is jumping. I mean, I'm interested to see if Porter is like the next LeBron James and if the other Porter is the next brother of LeBron James. Like, this could be a fun team to watch.
Yeah, but Porter may win as many college games as LeBron James did. But
whoa.
Do you have Kentucky winning it, Titel?
I do like Kansas. I think the 50th year in a row or whatever, but –
yeah, I am going to go with Kentucky to win this conference as well. I do think A&M and Florida are locks. I'm going with six teams. Alabama, Arkansas, and Georgia are my other three. I like Mississippi State better after we did this podcast tonight than I did when I wrote up my previews of the conference, but I still don't think they're a tournament team. David, though, your final thoughts and your picks here.
Okay, I really like this Texas A&M team, and I'm tempted to pick them to win it all just because Kentucky is so young. But I do think that when Kentucky gets into conference play after Christmas break, they're really going to start to hit their stride. So they're my pick to win it. In addition to those two, I like Florida. I think that they're pretty much a lock. I really like Alabama and Arkansas. And I think maybe one more gets in as a six, but I can't really say who because a case could be made for a lot of them, but I'm only going to go with six, which is still an improvement. It's the most they've had in, what was it, 5 years? 10 years?
It's been 10 years since they had 16.
10 years. Okay, yeah. I think they get six.
Well, I guess on that note, that does conclude our SEC preview. I want to thank everyone for joining us. On behalf of John Titel, John Stalica, Joby Fortson, and the puppet down there, I'm Chad Sherwood. Yep. We'll be back again. We've got more previews to come, and if you miss any of our other prior ones, you can scroll down, or there is a tab up there that says Season Previews. You can find them up there as well. Have a great night, everyone.